Thanks for joining us on Central Time. I'm Keely Boltina in for Rob Ferret, and that is, of course, the unmistakable score to the movie Up. Kids entertainment, TV or movies, it's not just for kids. I'm sure you're not alone if you find yourself laughing or crying during an animated flick that's supposed to be for children. Again, we're talking about Up here. Here are a few of the movies that made Rolling Stone magazine's top 40 greatest animated movies ever. Rango, Coraline, The Incredibles, WALL-E, Spirited Away, Inside Out, Toy Story, and of course there's so many more. We are talking about it right now and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What is a movie or show made for kids that you've really enjoyed watching, whether it's animated or not? Why do you like watching kids' movies as an adult? Hey, maybe you're a kid. Give us a call. Tell us what you like to watch with your family. 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Michael Newman is a media studies professor at UW-Milwaukee. He teaches courses on film and television. He's also the author of several books, including Video Revolutions on the History of a Medium. Mike, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, glad to be here.
Thanks for being willing to talk with us about watching kids' movies as adults. I understand you have children yourself. Do you find yourself enjoying their media more often than you would expect to?
I enjoy it a lot, and it's been one of the pleasures of the pandemic times, to be honest, to look forward to watching movies and TV with them. It's something we do together, and as they grow up, and you know, one's a teenager and one's 11, I kind of lose some of the pleasures of watching those kids' movies with them, but I also just take pleasure from them myself as well. And I think that they're, sometimes they're marketed for kids, but they're also marketed to families, and you know, kids don't go to the movies by themselves these days very often. So they're made to be appealing to adults as well.
Oh yeah, and I've got younger kids, elementary age kids, and movies have been a big thing. We're doing a little bit of like exploring new ones, but also trying to convince them to watch the ones that we liked growing up. Mm. So like it's this combination of taking in the new media, but also an opportunity to be a little nostalgic.
Oh, for sure. And that's a big part of their appeal. They kind of take us back to our own childhood, whether we remember them from our younger days or not. But I think there's also kind of innocence that we can tap into, you know, easier times maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially when things are hard. Sometimes the movies can hit a little too close to home, poking some fun at very relatable adult issues. Let's take a listen to one of those classic kids movies. It's not new. Here is a clip from Toy Story that illustrates that.
Buzz, hey, Buzz, are you okay?
Gone! It's all gone. All of it's gone. Bye-bye. Who's here?
What happened to you?
1 minute you're defending the whole galaxy. And suddenly, you find yourself sucking down Darjeeling with
Marie Antoinette and her little sister. I think you've had enough tea for today. Let's get you out of here, Buzz.
Don't you get it? You see the hat? I am Mrs. Nesbitt.
Snap out of it, Buzz!
I'm sorry. You're right. I am just a little depressed. That's all. I can get through this.
Oh, I'm a sham!
Shh,
look at me. I can't even fly out of a window.
That is, of course, Buzz Lightyear. Having a bit of a breakdown there. What works so well about taking some of these real human moments and then putting those on these tiny, colorful characters?
Yeah, I mean, these are such larger-than-life characters. And I think maybe as an adult, I can appreciate how Tom Hanks and Tim Allen perform these roles. And I recognize their voices and know them from TV and movies also. They're the toys come to life, and that's such a kind of resonant fantasy that goes back a long way. Those movies over the several of them that have come out over the years have, I think, brought some of that magical childhood play experience to the screen so vividly.
So there's an element of escapism to this?
I think so. They're so heartwarming too. You know, I think the one I watched most recently was Toy Story 3, where the, you know, the kid grows up and doesn't need his toys anymore. You know, it's kind of sad and touching and true all at once. And the adults who watch with their kids can identify with that for sure.
Yeah, not just as yourself, but also watching your kids or your grandkids or your nieces and nephews love something so much and then just no longer need it. There's certainly a different perspective there. We've got Searle in Madison on the line who wants to talk with us about this. Hi, Searle.
Hello. Yeah, I was just thinking about all the movies that I've seen with and without my kids over the last 20 and 30 years or more. We used to buy movies before we had kids.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that, especially in the last 30 years, so many of these animated films, especially the Pixar style of movies, it's almost like they have so much between the lines innuendo, specifically targeting the parents or the adult viewer, and that it seems like the movie is for the adults that they can bring their kids along.
Oh, yeah. Searle, thanks for that perspective. Michael Newman, these movies are walking a fine line if they're trying to appeal to both kids and their parents watching.
I think that there's a really great technique of having some jokes that will go over the head of the typical kid, but they won't mind. They won't know that that's going on. And it kind of gives a pleasure to the parents to catch a reference, to get a joke. And it's kind of the something for everyone approach. So the kids might like the physical humor, the bathroom humor, that kind of thing. And the adults like the references or like I said, recognizing the actors who voice the characters in an animated kind of cartoony movie. You know, some of my favorite examples from my own childhood that I still love are the Muppets or Sesame Street, where there would be guest stars on the Muppet show or in the Muppet movie or parodies. You know, parody is such a big thing in children's media, and the children just never know what's being parodied. I watched an episode of The Simpsons a few weeks ago with my kid, and it was a parody of Evita, the musical by Andrew Lloyd Webber. And it was a hilarious episode, and my son has never heard any of that music or doesn't know the story of Eva Perón, obviously. It has no meaning to him, but it was hilarious to me, and yet we both really liked it. So I think that working on multiple levels can be a way that enriches everyone's experience.
We're talking with Michael Newman, who teaches courses on film and television at UW-Milwaukee. He's also written books. And there's a line for you now at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite movie? What was it as a kid? Do you watch it now? As an adult, what movies that are kind of targeted toward a kid audience have you really enjoyed? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's what Matt in Alloway has done. Hey, Matt.
How are you doing? One of the things I love about animated films is the amount of Easter eggs that you can find in those films. And as an example, if you're watching and you look in the background, you sometimes see things in, like, in Shrek 2, there's a moment where there's this giant gingerbread man who's attacking the small village, just like Godzilla. He goes for a Starbucks and he grabs the giant Starbucks coffee cup. And when he does, what you see that, but if you look on the other side of the screen, there's all the people rushing out of the Starbucks into another Starbucks across the street.
Matt, thank you for sharing that example of really what we're talking about here, Michael, with some of that adult humor or understanding, seeing our lives in these characters that are animated.
Yeah, for sure. And I think they are over time cramming more jokes in, like, that are in the background, those kind of blinker, you'll miss it things. I don't think you see those in the Disney movies from the 50s as much as you do the more contemporary examples.
And I'll say, sometimes you really have to look, because there are lots of movies that I have heard because I'm doing other things while they're playing. And then I get around to watching them after I'm familiar with what the story is from hearing it. And there's so much more to the story when you're able to watch it and listen to it, especially as an adult. You can really pick up on more things there. So it's not just jokes that are written, but it's also what the animators are doing. Is that what you see too?
Yeah, for sure. And I think if these movies are well made and they have, you know, impressive visuals and, you know, songs and lots of appeals, then watching them more than once and watching them at different ages, it'll in some ways be like watching a new movie, because you'll find some things that are familiar and some things that you hadn't paid attention to. Just to return to the Muppets, the Muppet movie has tons of cameos by these actors who I just wouldn't have recognized as a kid. Like Bob Hope or someone like that. And now as an adult, I recognize them all. And you know, I get a kind of jolt of pleasure just for knowing who they are and what kind of goofy role they put them into. And that's a pretty old movie now, from the 70s.
Yeah, we're talking with Michael Newman. He teaches courses on film and TV as a media studies professor at UW-Milwaukee. He stays with us for this conversation. You can let us know what your favorite movie is, or have you watched some new-to-you kids movies lately that you think we should see? Go ahead and send us a message at ideas@WPR.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Join in now here on Central Time. This is the Ideas Network.
Here's a Muppet news flash. Muppet Labs has announced the escape of their new electric sledgehammer, which is believed to be roaming the city on a very long extension cord. There is no need to panic, however, since the hammer only attacks really wimpy nerds.
There are few kids programs that have really had audiences that span generations, although one you heard right there, we talked about the Muppets. We're having a conversation about TV and about movies that are meant for kids, but that we enjoy watching as adults, and why they bring us a little bit of comfort. This is Central Time. I'm Keeley Boltina. Our guest is Michael Newman, who's a media studies professor at UW-Milwaukee, and we're taking your calls now. We've got Mike and Madison on the line. Hey, Mike.
Hi, good afternoon. This is a subject that is very close to my heart. I'm almost 60 years old, but I was brought up on animation. So the medium of animation to me is boundless. I mean, if anybody who's watched Looney Tunes knows that gravity and the laws of physics mean nothing. So it's really fun to, you know, anything is possible inside of animation. And so I seek out animation that, particularly where there's some really good storytelling. That's another thing that's wonderful about it. It's a wonderful medium to tell stories that really are touching. So some of my favorites are The Iron Giant. More recently, Moana. It's really amazing storytelling. For something that's just plain old silly, it's Hoodwinked. The animation quality is not very good, but it's still some really fun storytelling, very imaginative.
Mike, thank you for sharing that with us. And Michael Newman, you teach courses on film and television. Here's your opening. What do you want to say about animation?
Well, you know, animation has such a long history, and I think it does do some of these things that Mike was talking about. It can be used in such creative and inventive ways that defy the laws of gravity or physics. It can be fantastical, and it can show us other worlds. You know, I'm thinking like in Coco, the recent Pixar kind of instant classic, the land of the dead and how it comes to life. And you just can't imagine that kind of visual array of skeletons walking and talking done with live action. Or characters, they can change shape, they can perform in just unimaginable ways, like the performance of the genie in Aladdin. I'm thinking of the Robin Williams Aladdin, the older one. And so it's just completely different from live action in the way that the filmmakers have opportunities to show us things that we haven't seen.
Let's take a listen to a little bit of the movie Coco. That is an animated movie from 2017.
Mama Coco, can you hear me? It's Miguel. I saw your papa. Remember? Papa? Please, if you forget him, he'll be gone forever. Here, this was his guitar, right? He used to play it to you? See, there he is. Papa, remember? Papa? Mama Coco, please, don't forget him.
You know, you mentioned how visually stunning this movie is, but it also has these incredible connections about real life, about memory loss, and about family. Why does that movie stand out to you?
I think it's remarkable in several ways. I think it's a remarkable achievement, just visually, and I love the songs, and I think the story is beautiful. And also, as a Latino film, you know, set in Mexico, and the performers are all Latino performers, so that's a landmark as well for such a successful, huge kind of blockbuster movie. You know, another name for children's or kid films would be family films. They're films that are made for families, but they also, like in the case of Coco, have a theme of family unity or togetherness or understanding. And that, you know, Coco does this amazing thing with memory, but also with the many generations of the family kind of understanding one another and coming together. So I think that, you know, how touching that is as a story about the kid and his great-grandmother, and what music does to bring them together. It also, you know, offers something to the audience of, you know, connecting them across generations as well.
Yeah. We're talking with Michael Newman, who teaches courses on film and television at UW-Milwaukee. And we're taking your calls to want to bring Patrick in Milwaukee to the conversation. Hi, Patrick.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you for bringing up such a wonderful topic. I, too, really enjoyed Coco. And, yes, it was visually stunning. But another thing that I really took out of it was a similar kind of grand concept from Inside Out. And that was this idea of really the films nowadays that kids are watching. It's amazing how, because of all the different things that they're at their fingertips, that they could take these really big concepts, or in some cases like Coco, potentially a macabre subject, and be able to distill it into something that is, you know, a learning opportunity for young minds. And I think that there is so much that can be packed into a film nowadays, compared to some of the things that maybe we were watching as kids. I also wanted to say that I really enjoyed Soul, which was another very new one. And the last thing that I wanted to say is my girlfriend and I enjoy kids' movies so much to this day. We don't have any kids ourselves, but we have some different nieces and nephews in the family that we get to share some of these new films with. And I personally am the biggest fan of Big Hero 6, and so much so that we named our 105-pound black and white mastiff dog Baymax, for any of the viewers, any of the listeners who know that reference. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Oh, Patrick, thank you so much for sharing so much, for talking about the themes, and also, you know, letting us know about where the name of your dog came from. Michael, have you named anything after a movie?
Not that I can recall. That's not a question I was anticipating.
Just checking. You never know.
I support it.
You support it. Great. Let's go ahead and welcome Christine from Platteville then. Hey, Christine.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to go a little retro with The Point from Nielsen. It may not be children's focus, but it is. And it has a very, very good message and very enlightening. I also love The Yellow Submarine. We're not even talk about that one, but that is, it's very kid friendly. There is no obscene language in there or anything that would insult anybody. And I enjoyed both of those animations very much.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Christine. And let's hear from Sullivan calling from Viroqua. Hi, Sullivan.
Hi. So today I want to talk a little bit about anime. Anime, I haven't really watched a lot of it yet. I've been watching anime for about a year, and it's always just stood out to me how beautiful some of the animations can be, and they can always portray such an amazing story in such a short amount of time, whether it be 12 episodes, no matter what kind of genre you like, you can watch pretty much anything from action to romance to kids anime to adults anime. Pretty much everything is there. And I've always just found it so enjoyable to watch anime, talk about it with my friends. And say you find a fan base for an anime, you're going to find somebody who likes that anime. You could talk about that anime for hours with them. And, like, you'll never run out of stuff to talk about.
Sullivan, thank you so much for helping us branch into another piece of animated film and television shows now. We really appreciate your call. Michael Newman, what's your take on anime and how many different kinds of anime a person can watch or read?
Yeah, it's never been a huge thing of my own, so I probably know much less than the caller. but I do love the Japanese movies of Miyazaki, like Spirited Away and Kiki's Delivery Service and the others that I've been watching recently on HBO Max because they're available to stream there. And it's true that they have a really distinctive style. They have a kind of painterly style that's different from certainly than Pixar, but also Disney Animation and Warner Brothers, Looney Tunes kind of stuff. And I think for some of these movies that have such a broad appeal, to think of them as children's films is kind of to do them wrong. They're films sometimes about children or that appeal to people of many ages and backgrounds, but sometimes they're just, you know, beautiful stories that happen to be in the medium of animation.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Michael Newman is a media studies professor at UW-Milwaukee. He teaches courses on film and television. He's also the author of several books, including Video Revolutions on the History of a Medium. And he joined us to talk about movies made for kids that adults also enjoy.